Snap back to Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. Firing down the seam. Tyreek Hill. 10, 5, touchdown. Kansas City. A 38-yard touchdown. The 30th touchdown pass of the season for Patrick Mahomes. That now ties the 55-year record of Lenny the Cool Dawson. Snap to Mahomes at his belt. Sidestepping. Fires for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught. Touchdown! Kansas City. Tyreek Hill. But Patrick Mahomes now has set a Kansas City Chiefs record, bringing his own ice to the party. 31 touchdowns in a single season, breaking the record of Lenny the Cool Dawson 55 years ago.
Listen, he's had a heck of a year. I mean, he's playing his heart out, and I love the backside of that, the preparation and how he goes about his business there, and day in and day out, you guys have a chance to see him at practice early, and he comes out every day, he's bringing energy, and he makes sure that he has his things in order, and when he does that, he's got a lot on his plate as far as responsibility goes to run the offense, so he takes care of that, and you know, he's in a position where he can make everybody better around him, and he's doing that. So I'm proud of him for how he's going about his business.
Patrick Mahomes with the 30th and 31st touchdown passes of the season, breaking a franchise record set by Lenny Dawson, an old record finally broken. Patrick Mahomes atop that record chart for Chiefs quarterbacks, 31 touchdown passes and counting. Only played 10 games. Andy Reid talking about that success as well. Chiefs, a workmanlike effort yesterday against Arizona, winning 26-14. We'll tell you why the Chiefs won in more ways than one yesterday coming up in a moment. But first, local sports, where we have a couple of football teams that moved on to the next round of the playoffs, made it to the state semifinals, an 8-man in Class 1A. And we got some all-state volleyball recognition as well.
Yes, two area teams that you talk about are the Osborne Bulldogs and the Smith Center Redmen that are still alive in high school football. Osborne winning 54-8 over South Barber, a game called at halftime there in the sectional playoff in 8-man Division II Friday night in Osborne. And Dighton beat Otis Bison. So with that, Dighton had hosted all three of their playoff games, and West comes east for this round. So Osborne will be at home yet again on Friday night in the 8-man Division II sub-state round of the playoffs. That game will be on Katy Country 94, and we have received word recently that will be a 7 o'clock kickoff, so we'll have pregame coverage at 6:30, a kickoff at 7 between Osborne and Dighton from Osborne and Liberty Field right here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Also in Class 1A, Smith Center dispatched of Sedgwick in the sectional playoff 61-27 Friday night. Smith Center will now host Plainville this Friday night. The Redmen beat the Cardinals earlier this season in a pretty good matchup. This one will be in Smith Center on Friday in 1A sub-state action. And full brackets for the Kansas State High School Activities Association state football playoffs can be found at ncksports.com. Also there, the 8-man Division II District 4 all-district teams. It would take a long time to go through all that, so we'll just direct you there to see those for all our area athletes. For the 8-man Division II District 4 All-District. As Wade said, Kansas Volleyball Association has announced their all-state teams as well. In Class 3A, Shea Larson of Beloit was a first-team all-state selection, and Breezy Schroeder of Beloit a second-team all-state pick for the Kansas Volleyball Association. In Class 1A, Kara Eilert of St. John's Tipton made the first team. Elizabeth Hardacre of Thunder Ridge and Delaney Harold of Sylvan Lucas, second-team picks. And in 2A, Bree Freeling and Grayson Hutchinson of Smith Center on the first team, and Talon Rentschler, honorable mention pick for Smith Center. Also, Smith Center had good representation on the Mid-Continent League All-League Volleyball team that was also released. The aforementioned Freeling and Hutchinson were unanimous first-team picks in the MCL. Rentschler was a first-team pick as well, and then Lizzie Fortmiller was a second-team selection. All of those honors, All-League, All-State, All-District, can be found at ncksports.com. So plenty of things coming in as far as honors for our area athletes here for fall sports.
All right, congratulations to all of them as we move into the winter sports season once football concludes, which will be wrapped up, we know for sure, by November the 24th. Right now it looks like Hanover-Axtell is going to be a heck of a game. And the winner of that one will get, I'm going to call it, hope I don't jinx the Bulldogs, I like Osborne to win. Dighton only has 9 players, but they did beat Otis Bison in a pretty exciting game last week, and Osborne looked really good. So if Osborne plays like they did on Friday, I would imagine Osborne will be moving on to the state championship game down in Newton. Of course, we'll cover Osborne all the rest of the way. We've had every single one of their playoff games on the radio, and we'll continue to do so here all the way as far as they go, and we're hoping they do go all the way to Newton, and hopefully could, I would imagine they'd be an underdog either against Axtell or Hanover if they make it that far, and you know what, that's okay, because Osborne's done just fine when they make trips to Newton in the past, and I would imagine, I was listening to you, I had to go to a, went to a birthday party celebration, and went over to a restaurant, we're on the way there, where I listened to you on the radio, and Osborne's close to scoring a touchdown. I'm like, they'll score a touchdown to two. This game will be over at halftime. And I could tell that you seemed to be kind of giddy about them getting the two-point conversion.
I was not.
So that
I
you could be down at halftime.
I was not upset at all that that game was over at half.
I must say, if I didn't like you, I would have been cheering for Osborne not to get the two just to make you stay out there longer. But I wouldn't wish that on anybody, to be honest with you.
You know, I mentioned to Wade earlier that I tuned into your broadcast late in the second quarter, and I just caught you going into a break, and I thought you said 54-8, but I wasn't sure. I was like, well, could that be right? We thought that game was going to be closer than that, you know. So I texted, did you say 54-8? He's like, yep, it's going to be warmer soon.
You know, I'm not really surprised Osborne won or comfortably, but I'm surprised that they got it done at halftime.
So, yeah.
But once I listened, though, the first quarter, I was like, this is going to be over in a hurry. I mean, just listening to your broadcast, like, this thing isn't going to last very long.
Everything was going wrong for South Barber, and every single thing was going right for Osborne. I mean, it's those eight-man games that you see that snowball, and it literally did that. Like, it was.
Yeah.
It was over before they had a chance to
complete
even get
with the
into
snow.
It.
Yeah. Osborne played well, and that's what you need to do, play your best ball this time of year. And, and Osborne's doing that. Smith Center, a nice performance against Sedgwick, putting up 61 points. There were a few surprises, though. Centralia lost to Olpe. That was a surprise to many. And the one that's the biggest surprise to me was Riley County winning in overtime over Silver Lake in overtime, 40-34. You know last time Riley County beat Silver Lake in football?
I know how long it's been. Yeah.
Yeah.
22 years.
Yeah, 1996.
Wow.
I believe, was Jordy playing Riley County at that time?
No, he wouldn't. He was John McGraw was playing.
John McGraw. Yeah. I was going to say, they had to have some Jordy, kind of pro player.
Jordy was in probably fifth or sixth grade.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. When did Jordy finish out in Riley?
2003.
Okay. All right. 1996, I'm like, it has to be. I was thinking Jordy because that's just the first thing I think of Riley County as football is Jordy.
Yeah, but John McGraw was playing
but
there.
I figured they'd have an NFL player that was on their team for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's the only way they could beat Silver Lake.
Yeah, that was a surprise. It seems to open up things for Phillipsburg, who squeaked by Conway Springs and was probably the best game in the state. How in the world do you have 84 points in an 11-man football game and win 84-67? Wichita Northwest and 6A over Bishop Carroll, 84-67, 11-man football game in the state quarterfinals on Friday. That is insane.
Yeah.
Oh, see, the first time they played, it was 23-22.
That is insane.
No way.
In week one,
And then but since the weather, too.
My how things change.
Wow. But since then, Wichita Northwest has been giving up a ton of points, but they just score way more than everybody. Their scores are like 60-30 normally.
Becoming
like
the Oklahoma of high school football, Oklahoma Sooners.
Who can't like Big 12,
Big 12 football. So, Chiefs
put some
football.
Steroids with it on Friday.
Yeah. Wow. 84-67. That's insane. Wow. That's been a long night for a broadcaster, and plus you need to probably go to the store at halftime, get some more pens and paper and everything else. All right, the Chiefs win yesterday. We heard from Patrick Mahomes. We heard from Andy Reid. We didn't hear from Mahomes after the game. We actually just heard Mahomes play there, of course, play-by-play call by Mitch Holtis of the Chiefs Radio Network. Mahomes had to leave the game, or not leave the game, but after the game he didn't stick around because his girlfriend's stepfather was in the hospital and had passed away. So that's why we didn't hear from Mahomes after the game. Normally we do. Chiefs are 9-1, remain undefeated at home. They beat the Cardinals yesterday. They were 16.5-point favorite, didn't cover. Usually when there's a big spread, you're just smarter to just take the team that's the underdog because it's hard to cover that many points in an NFL game. We were expecting the Chiefs to have a letdown at some point. We thought Cleveland might be that letdown. It wasn't. Yesterday, to me, was that letdown game. And I know there are some Chiefs fans that seem to, you know, panic and freak out over everything. Here's the thing. Chiefs didn't play very well yesterday, at least offensively. The Chiefs, I think, had a letdown, and they still won by two scores. That's a sign of a really good team. I mean, you can sit here and, like, my stepfather-in-law is like, man, the Chiefs, they struggled to win. I'm like, well, it's better than the alternative, be the Patriots right now. Mm-hmm. Patriots went to Tennessee and lost by 24 points.
Thumped.
Against a 500 team. You know, that they probably had a letdown right there. The Chiefs had a letdown, still won by 12. And I never thought the Cardinals were going to win the game. So that's a sign of a good team. And the Chiefs will be amped and ready to go next Monday night in Mexico City. And I hope to goodness gracious neither team has a serious injury because that field looks like a train wreck. I've seen pictures down there, and I don't think the NFL should even have the game down there unless they're going to completely put new sod in for the football game, which maybe they're going to do. But that scares me. Tyreek Hill or Kelce getting hurt, Hunt or Mahomes on that stuff, just slipping and tearing up a knee. It does not look good. They had a concert down there at Mexico City, and it is ripped to shreds. And they're going to have soccer games between now and Monday, I've been told, as well. So that's a little bit scary. And the Rams, they squeaked by the Seahawks yesterday. Rams are 9-1. The Chiefs are 9-1. Could be a preview of the Super Bowl, although I'll bet you one of these two teams or both don't make it to the Super Bowl. That's next Monday night. You can hear it on Z96.3 The Lake with the pregame starting at 6 o'clock. So ESPN and Monday Night Football finally get a great game. Finally. Last time they had really a good game, seems to me, was the Bronco-Chief game on Monday night. Although I don't watch every Monday Night Football broadcast. I try not to. It's tough to listen to. Witten's just not very good. They put a guy that has no broadcast experience into a Monday Night Football booth. What could go wrong?
Wow. That field does look horrible.
It's horrible, dude. So hopefully they get that fixed. But anyway, the story really is the Chiefs defense got it done. The offense did enough. Mahomes sets the franchise record. And for 54 years, Lynn Dawson held the record, which is amazing in this day and age where you throw the football left and right. Mahomes has thrown 31 touchdown passes. Yesterday, he broke his streak. He was trying to go for 9 straight 300-yard passing days. Didn't need it. 21 of 28 for 249, 2 touchdowns. He has 31 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions on the year. A couple of touchdown passes to Tyreek Hill, who decided to be a cameraman for CBS, which I thought was hilarious. And it's funny that he caught the flag being thrown on him. That was the best part of it. And he did a pretty good job of running the camera, by the way, too. And he's going to get fined for that. Andy Reid didn't appreciate it too much. He said after the game he had some choice words for Tyreek about that. And you do have to wonder a little bit. You want the guys to have fun, but do they go a little bit too far? I don't know. I thought it was okay. But
I just don't see the difference in what he did on his first touchdown and direct and jumping into the stands. Right.
But he used a prop.
Yeah. Well, he didn't, produce that prop, though. That was already there.
It was already there, but he grabbed it, Dusty. He didn't have to grab it.
Like, the guys that put the cell phones into the goalpost, I get that. Yeah. Like, he put it there.
Yeah, right. It was kind of spontaneous type of thing, I think. But anyway, the Chiefs do win. The pass rush did a nice job against Josh Rosen. And the Cardinals, D. Ford, is playing like a man possessed because he's in a contract year. Then he'll probably get this huge contract from the Chiefs, and then he'll end up getting hurt again next year. What worries me about the Chiefs is I don't know, man. D. Ford has been really, really good. And maybe he's hitting his prime and he's going to be great the next few years, or he's just having a career year. And then the Chiefs sign him like they did with Houston and Barry, and then things fall apart. I think the Chiefs, this sounds weird, but he's going to demand a lot of money on the open market as a free agent. I think the Chiefs would be smart to walk from it, even though he's having a great year.
Yeah.
Justin Houston, big-time interception. Good to have him back. I was saying last week, well, it'd probably be good just to not have him play. Well, if he didn't play, I don't know if the Chiefs would win the game. Made some really good plays on screen passes. The Cardinals kept going back to the screen pass. Tyreek Hill had a big day. He'd been kind of quiet recently. 7 receptions, 117 yards, a couple touchdowns. No Sammy Watkins. I think that might have been a little bit of why the offense struggled, too. Didn't quite get into a rhythm. The interception by Houston was the play that changed the game, no question. It's 20-14 early in the fourth, and the Cardinals had the ball deep in their own territory, and Houston picks off a screen pass. Kareem Hunt was solid again, as always. We kind of take him for granted. Kind of like the lineup. Lined up Ware as a fullback, and he got a touchdown run. That was kind of created by Andy Reid. Steven Nelson, another interception to seal the deal. And the Cardinals did something that, to me, makes total sense. It just didn't work. And that is they attempted an onside kick. After they tied the game at 7, they tried the onside kick, and the Chiefs had been warned that teams are going to try to steal possessions from our offense. And I had this conversation with someone the other day yesterday. Well, that was dumb by the Cardinals to try the onside kick. I'm like, no, actually, I thought it was a very good idea. The Chiefs had just went right down the field in 3 plays and scored. What's the difference letting the Chiefs have the ball at the 50 or the 40 or backing them at the 20? Because that's how good the Chiefs' offense is. So you take a chance, and if you don't get it, well, you're still going to live to fight another day. The game was tied at 7, and you give up a touchdown, you probably expect to give up a touchdown anyway. Guess what? They held them to a field goal.
Yeah.
Chiefs got a field goal. That was 10-7, another field goal, 13-7, eventually 20-7 half, and then not good in the second half of the Chiefs' offense. 5 of the last 6 possessions they punted, and the only possession they didn't punt was when they had the short field due to the Houston interception. So I think teams are going to do more of that. They're going to do some creative things on kickoffs. And they're going to go for it on fourth down a lot more than normal teams against the Chiefs offense. And to me, makes total sense. Now, one of the bad things about this game yesterday was the Chiefs lost the coin toss.
Yes.
Well, there goes the streak.
Oh.
Darn it. But really good news, no new injuries to report after the game. Sorensen played some. Houston played. Watkins, I think, will be back for the Rams game, you would imagine. Eric Berry, let's not get started there. No need to waste time. And if that field is in such horrible shape, you don't want Berry playing on it anyway. So we'll see if they get that all fixed. So, you know, it's a workmanlike effort. But how did the Chiefs win in more ways than one? Well, they won the game 26-14, but the Patriots lost to Tennessee 34-10. So the Patriots have three losses. The Chiefs have just the one loss. So even if the Chiefs lose to the Rams next Monday night, which I think a lot of Chiefs fans think the Chiefs are going to lose that game, the Chiefs lose to the Rams on Monday night, they'd still have a game lead on the Patriots. The Steelers still have to play the Chargers and the Patriots. And, of course, the Chiefs still have to play the Seahawks, which won't be easy. And that'll be in Seattle. And they've got to host the Chargers, which the Chiefs usually are just fine at home against the Chargers. So you really look at the two, I would say the dangerous games for the Chiefs the rest of the way. The Rams, let's assume they lose. They're 9-2. Then they get a bye, which they'll need. Then Raiders, well, that's like another bye. And then the Ravens, who Joe Flacco might be out for a while. And if they have a rookie quarterback, good luck for Baltimore. And they've got their coach and them are going to part ways. It's been reported at the end of the year. So there's some problems there in Baltimore. Then the Charger game, I think the Chiefs will win as long as they're healthy. It's home. It's prime time. Chiefs don't lose prime time games at night at Arrowhead. They just don't. And then at Seattle, and then they host Oakland. Okay, so let's assume they lose to the Rams, and they lose on the road at Seattle. That's 13-3. You need the Patriots to lose one more game because they have the tiebreaker head-to-head if you're tied. And you need the Steelers to lose one more game because the best the Steelers could do if they lose one more game would be 12-3-1 because they tied with the Browns, and the Chiefs would have a half-game lead over the Steelers and get home field advantage in the playoffs. Of course, they beat the Steelers head-to-head, but they wouldn't need a tiebreaker, and they won't need a tiebreaker unless the Chiefs end up having a tie as well. So it was a good day for the Chiefs from that standpoint. The other good news for the Chiefs is that Le'Veon Bell, according to reports, which they could be wrong, I would not be surprised if these reports are wrong, but according to people close to the situation, is that Le'Veon Bell will not return to the Steelers. He has till tomorrow to report. If he doesn't, he can't play the rest of the year. He had talked about at the Pro Bowl back in January or February that he was serious about sitting out the whole season. He's sitting out a year of his prime, and he's lost a lot of money in doing so. He does have his health, and I'd be interested to see what kind of market is out for Le'Veon Bell in the offseason for a guy that missed a whole year in his prime playing football. He still should be in great shape, but that's good news for the Chiefs too, because James Conner is a really good football player, really good running back, and he's an MVP type of candidate. He's having a great year, but he doesn't scare you like Le'Veon Bell does. So, and Bell's had the Chiefs' number over the years. So if you're the Chiefs, great news. Bell's not going to come back. Connor gets banged up. That makes it even better for the Chiefs. The Patriots lose yesterday, a game that many people didn't expect the Patriots to lose. And now if the Chiefs go out and beat the Rams on Monday night, really the only way the Chiefs don't get the number one seed in the AFC and home field advantage throughout the playoffs is injuries.
Yeah, that's all. They just got to take care of business. That's really what it comes down to right now. I mean, like I say, you can lose that game against the Rams and still feel comfortable about where you're at from that aspect. So just go out there and, like you say, you got the game against the Chargers. Like you say, I mean, just stay healthy and get some of these guys back, like a Watkins that missed. And I'm not feeling like overly nervous about it. I think they can get the home field. I mean,
I do too.
You know, it's not, they're not games that really worry you a lot as long as they come out focused and play their game.
Well, the Chargers are nipping on the heels. They're 7-2. Yeah. They beat the Raiders yesterday. Oh, the Raiders. Fourth down and 5 play with 4 minutes to go, down by 14. They run a little screen. The running back gets caught up, and Derek Carr on 4th down and 5 just spikes the ball into the ground. No wonder Jordy Nelson retired.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that, ladies and gentlemen? Jordy Nelson, according to reports after the game, it leaked out that there was a veteran making his goodbyes in the locker room. Many people wondered if it was Jordy Nelson, and according to reports this morning, Jordy Nelson retiring. You know, I think he can still play. He can go somewhere else. He just went to a horrible organization.
At a really bad time.
At a really bad time. Yeah, exactly. With Gruden and everything else, and the veterans are being cast off, and Gruden, you know, is not happy with Carr. I don't even know if Carr will be back next year. They got rid of Mack. They got rid of Irvin. Now Jordy's retiring. And I hate to see Jordy go out that way because, you know, he went from a pretty classy organization to a train wreck.
Yeah.
And I will never remember Jordy as a Raider at all.
Oh, no.
It was a short time as a Raider. He had one really good game for the Raiders, and that was about it. So, and I think that was the game they won against Cleveland, if I remember correctly.
I don't think most Raider fans will remember Jordy as a Raider.
No. So, you know, Jerry Rice played for a while for the Raiders. I'd never think of Jerry Rice as a Raider, but he played for a while for the Raiders. Longer than some people would imagine.
I'd remember him as a Raider way more than Jordy.
Right. He also was a Seahawk, Jerry Rice.
He played in a Super Bowl with the Raiders. So.
Yes. So, Jordy, according to reports, retiring. So, we wish him he'll be fine. He's saved his money and bought a lot of land.
Yeah.
He'll have no problems. And maybe this is a blessing in disguise with Jordy, no major horrible injury. To finish his career, he can just go out the way he'd like to, although I think he would have liked to have gone out as a Packer. And who knows? Maybe the Packers will talk to him, and he'll decide not to retire officially and still be available and go help out Aaron Rodgers. Maybe. Because I haven't seen officially that he's retired. I haven't seen a statement from Jordy saying that. Or maybe just say you're retired because you're part of the Raiders just to get out.
Yeah.
And then you go unretire very quickly. Okay, so NFL games yesterday. It was the Bears over the Lions, 34-22. The Saints paced the Bengals. I thought that was a scary game. It wasn't. 51-14. Drew Brees, you know, you're talking about the MVP race, and I think a lot of people that follow the Chiefs just think that Mahomes is going to be the MVP. Drew Brees is having a better season than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
He has, I think, one interception all year. He is completing 77% of his passes, and Mahomes is like 62%. The numbers actually favor Drew Brees once you start adding this stuff up. He went by Brett Favre on the all-time touchdown pass mark in NFL history. Saints look like the best team in the NFL right now. You go to Cincy and win by 37. That's pretty impressive. Cleveland wins over Atlanta, 28-16. Baker Mayfield woke up and said, I felt pretty dangerous. And then he went out and played really well. So the Falcons are now 4-5. Indianapolis, that was a playoff pick I had before the season. Didn't look good, but now they're getting hot, and they're in the playoff race for a wild card. They win 29-26 over Jacksonville, who's lost five in a row and fallen apart. Chiefs beat the Cardinals 26-14. You know, the one thing about the Chiefs, once again, that run defense worries me. Yeah. It wasn't very good again yesterday. And the offensive line concerns me a little bit. Fisher got smoked yesterday.
He did.
But they have a really good pass rusher, too. The Bills beat the Jets 41-10. Washington beats Tampa Bay 16-3. Fitzpatrick threw for over 400 yards, and Tampa Bay managed 3 points. That sounds like a KU football type of thing to do. Redskins under Alex Smith. They lead the NFC East by 2 games. So you could say it's worked out well. Redskins got a quarterback that manages the game, doesn't throw a lot of interceptions like Kirk Cousins. Cousins goes signs for a whole bunch of money in Minnesota, and the Chiefs hand the keys to Mahomes. Everybody's happy. Tennessee, we mentioned the big win over New England. I don't know what happened to the Patriots offense yesterday. You see Deion Lewis after the game, former Patriot running back. He said, yeah, they're cheap. That's why we kicked their bleep. Because they didn't re-sign Deion Lewis because he says they were cheap. The Chargers beat the Raiders 20-6. Raiders are god-awful. Green Bay beats Miami 31-12. No surprise there. Rams, as we mentioned, squeaked by the Seahawks 36-31. Seahawks are a good football team. And the Cowboys, a much-needed win last night in Philadelphia 27-20. That's a game the Eagles, if you're really going to be a contender again, you should win. They didn't. Cowboys bounced back after all the noise this week. Troy Aikman calling out the whole organization. And Zeke Elliott had a big night. And the Cowboys win. So now the Cowboys and the Eagles are 4-5, but they're both 2 games back of the Redskins in the NFC East. Showtime tonight. It's the Niners versus the Giants. That'd been a great game if it was 1990. 49ers, right. that was the NFC Championship game that year. The 49ers, 2-7. The Giants, 1-7. Monday Night Football tonight on ESPN. I'm guessing ESPN, what they might do is just do a whole bunch of features on Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt during the broadcast and just constantly tease the Chiefs, Rams,
coming
and Mexico
up
City.
Next Monday.
Oh, by the way, there's a pass. Incomplete. Let's talk more about the Chiefs, Rams, shall we? It's the Rams, it's the Giants and the 49ers. Who cares? Let's talk about next week's game. Just make it a whole full 3-hour pregame preview show. That's a brutal game. And then they have such a great game next Monday. It's pretty crazy. All right, a game that was not great, and I'm so glad I wasn't there to see it. And it was really, really cold, although Dusty was in the press box.
I should have went with my original plan and just stayed home.
Yeah, you probably should have.
I wondered when I got up Saturday and saw that your vehicle wasn't around. I thought, oh, did he actually go?
Oh, man. Well, when you're in the press box, it makes it a little easier.
If you're not watching the game, and I was like, him, yeah, he should have stayed home.
my title of this is The Sunflower Showdown Leaves Something Left to Be Desired. I guess it was close and I guess exciting at the end, but this is brutal. I mean, I don't have to watch the game to know it's brutal. When I see K-State has 59 yards of offense in the first half You know, I knew K-State. First of all, I never thought K-State would win this game. I got updates on the game. I was following on ESPN as we're traveling to Norman, and I saw highlights, and Kansas was ahead multiple times, and I was like, they're not going to win. Because Kansas is Kansas when it comes to football. They're going to find a way to lose. They really want to win, they'll squeeze the life out of the victory and make it a defeat. That's what they did. And honestly, I knew it was over when they were up 3-0 at halftime and dominated the first half. I knew it was over. You don't dominate a first half and you're only up 3-0 and win a game like that. You just, especially when you're a bad team, you don't. And here, I have a question. And this is why David Beatty, listen, nice guy. That's great. Turner Gill was a nice guy. All right. Terry Allen was a nice guy. David Beatty, didn't he know he got fired? Was he aware that he got fired?
Right.
Did he get the memo? I could have swore on Hawk Talk he broke down about how he cared about the players and really loved and relished the opportunity to coach the rest of the year. Wasn't that David Beatty, or was that somebody else?
Pretty sure it was David Beatty.
So when you have 4th-and-1 at the 4, why the hell are you kicking a field goal? I'll say it. Why the bleep are you kicking a field goal?
Yeah.
You've got nothing to lose. You're a 10.5-point underdog. At Manhattan, you drive all the way down the field. 3rd-and-1, you don't get it. It means you have no faith in your offense to get 4th-and-1. The message you send to your team is, I don't think you can get it. Now, knowing Kansas, they probably did the right thing. They kicked the field goal because Beatty would have had some trick dumb play on 4th-and-1 and would have lost 18 yards and then missed the 38-yard, well, it would have been 4th down, so it wouldn't have kicked the field goal. Oh, my Lord. It's 4th-and-1 at the 4. K-State's not a good rushing defense. You've moved it right down the field. Go for it. Go for it. Mm-hmm. They're not even trying to run a play before halftime when you could have at least taken a shot.
The thing before halftime was insane to me because there's a minute and 20 seconds left.
Kansas is so good with clock management.
But here's the thing, the other side of that, too. There's a minute and 20 seconds left, and it's 3rd-and-21. K-State has 2 timeouts.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have nothing on the board right now. Take a timeout. And then they don't. And I'm like, okay, whatever. They're going to get the ball to start the second half. Maybe I get it. And then KU's got 20 seconds on the 4th down play, and they just go to halftime. I'm like, I don't even care if you try to run the field goal unit out there because it would have been a long field goal. But take a Hail Mary to the end zone.
Something.
He says, I didn't want to have a turnover. Are you serious, dude?
Because how bad is a turnover going to hurt you at that
point? You could have turned the ball over with no time on the clock if you throw it into the end zone.
Well, I will say, in fairness to David Beatty, watching the last pass attempt of the game, maybe he had a right to
that
think
that kind
not
of turnover,
try,
yeah.
You know? Maybe David Beatty's smarter than we give him credit for on that one. Listen, what that tells me is very simple. You've got 2 head coaches that don't believe in their offense at all.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that. I'm worried about giving up a turnover. I'm up 3-0. 3 points is enough. I'll go to the locker room. I'm happy, as David Beatty. And Bill Snyder's like, our offense is so awful, I don't even want to give him another opportunity. And you wonder why those teams stink right now. Let's hear from David Beatty, and then we'll get into more of the guts of the game. Here's David Beatty on the loss to K-State. I mean, KU, I expect KU to get rolled upon rolled upon rolled upon rolled in Norman this week. They know they have no chance to win down there, and this team put everything into winning against K-State. The players, the coaches know this was our last chance to win a football game for David Beatty. It was our last chance to win a game. It was our rival. We're going to finally end the streak in Manhattan, and they should have, quite honestly. They didn't get it done. Here's Beatty on the K-State loss.
I thought they showed a lot of poise and a lot of fight coming back to win that game. It was a back-and-forth game there in the second half, and they did exactly what they needed to do to make enough plays to win it, and we were not able to do that. That's unfortunate because I felt like we had a pretty good showing for most of the day. That's why you play all 4 quarters, every minute of each one of them. So got a lot of growth that we still have yet to do, and when we do that, we'll start benefiting. We just weren't able to get it done today.
Couple of fumbles cost Kansas. When I look at the stat line of any game and I see a team that is -2 or -3 in the turnover category and they're plus in yardage and they still almost won the game, that tells me they were the better team. They just didn't win the game.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, turnovers don't help you, obviously. We waste a possession. And the other thing, of course, for Kansas is if you wonder why David Beatty is not going to be the head coach in the future, just look at what happened to Kansas in that situation where long run, holding. Hey, I got an idea. I'm the tight end, Maven Sanders. I think I'm just going to hide the flag. I'm going to move the flag. I'm going to hide the flag. And then they get another 15-yard penalty. So then they're 1st-and-27 from their own 1. Only bad or god-awful teams do that. I mean, and that's a discipline thing. And yet he still kept playing, the kid did. It's like, that's when I pull him out as a coach. Like, come on, dude. What are you doing? This isn't the circus. We're trying to win a football game. And that's great. He's a player's coach. The players love him. Well, maybe they love him because he lets them get away with stuff like that. And then Kansas State, I mean, special teams was bad again. And that almost cost them the game again for K-State. And here's Bill Snyder on the special teams mistakes.
Second straight week, we've had some struggles on special teams. Is it starting to get really frustrating just seeing those mistakes pile up?
Well, take dropping the extra point or a field goal snap. I mean, that's so unlikely. I mean, the youngster that do it twice in succession and having gone through, you know, virtually his whole career here, never put one on the ground. So, yeah, that's discerning. And I think that's one of those things sometimes that, you know, things happen, then you start to worry about it, not get it out of your mind. And whether that had an impact today or not, I don't really know. Some other things, you know, we had that sky kick that at the beginning of the second half, the ball hit the ground. That wasn't, you know, it's just, again, we've got to do a better job of understanding where to be. And, you know, that's coaching. That's not the players. That's me. Being able to get guys up in the right position to be able to catch those things. And we've, you know, playing back there with a young guy that really hasn't been back there before. And so it certainly can't fault him. So,
It's like a 180 from what he said last week when he threw a player under the bus. Now it's the coach's fault, but he wouldn't mention the guy that actually in charge of special teams. It's Bill's responsibility to put the punt returner on
the
skyward kick.
We almost got what we wanted there. He said it's coaching, and then he's like, it's my fault. Oh, man,
No, you were
so close.
I don't think Bill's the one going, hey, come up to catch this kick. I don't see Bill doing that on the sideline.
No.
That's Sean, his son's responsibility there. So he came close to mentioning that. What changed in the second half? K-State couldn't do anything offensively in the first half, but only trailed 3-0, then got things going in the second.
Well, I think, you know, just some consistency in what we're doing and in a variety of different ways, not getting the penalties. I mean, we had some other opportunities earlier than that and got penalized when we shouldn't. At no time should we, but nevertheless, you know, penalties hurt you. You know, lost yardage plays. We had some lost yardage plays that we shouldn't have had. You know, just take your pick. There's a ton of things that, you can boil it down to execution or a variety of other things as well. You know, getting the right things on the field, the right calls on the field, a ton of things.
Okay, and then the game, of course, the way it ended, it's just so KU football-like. I mean, for once, Dave Beatty had a good play call. I mean, if you go back and you watch the still shot of Beatty as he's back to pass, Puka Williams, he's only going to have one guy to beat.
It was there.
And it probably goes for a touchdown or at least a huge gain. And KU still got time on the clock. Of course, with KU, they're down 4. They might have kicked a field goal. I don't know. So of course, Bender goes back to pass, and the ball slips out of his hand, and that's the game. And that's the KU football follies for you. Listen, K-State, if they play like that against anybody else in the Big 12 or any Power 5 conference other than maybe Rutgers, probably loses that game. But it's Kansas.
Not even close.
So at Kansas, they find a way to win. And all the problems with special teams, Texas Tech comes to town, who had a chance to beat Texas and didn't quite get it done, had an improbable comeback fourth quarter, but then fell to Texas. They've got a lot to play for. They're 5-5. They want to be bowl eligible, come to Manhattan. Texas, 8-point favorite. Bill Snyder's maybe his final game. It's senior day for K-State, so you expect the seniors to play hard. But, you know, I don't know what you can expect from K-State this week. And then K-State's got to go to Ames, and Iowa State's playing some really good football. So it doesn't look very bright that K-State's going to win the next two games and be bowl eligible. They might get the Tech game, then it'd be 5-6, and then you hold out hope, then they can pull off an upset in Ames against Iowa State, who might have a lot to play for in that game, maybe for the Big 12 championship berth. I got the KU side handled, I think, in regards to all the follies. What about K-State, Dusty?
Oh, man. That first half, I seriously, I was like, if I was home right now, I could just be taking a nap right now, man. Like, I really would have just rewinded
the DVR.
I'm so glad
I went to Oklahoma
fast
to watch
forward
that game.
Through all the rest of the first half because it was boring.
You should have joined me to go to Oklahoma. That was a much better game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen a lot of boring football in my 35 years, but that first half, there was nothing I've ever seen that was worse than that. There might have been something that was as bad, but nothing worse for sure. Wow. They just, and it was just, Okay, so, you know, you talked about the 180 where he took the blame for the coaching and special teams this week. Okay, the guy that he threw under the bus last week didn't even play on offense in the first quarter.
No, he didn't.
He benched him for the first quarter on offense. He's not dropping passes. He's muffing punts, and you keep putting them out there. That's on you. That's on Sean. That's not on Isaiah Zuber. You don't bench him for an entire first half because he's muffing punts. Okay,
walk-ons and former
so that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem. And then you're not running any designed run plays in the first half with your running quarterback. And I know they're worried he might have an injury lingering still with his shoulder. But you know what? He's out there. You've got to take advantage of what you can do with him. And they started running designed run plays in the second half with Alex Delton. Imagine that. And they had started having some offensive success.
Save Delton for the second half because KU was so incapable of scoring points.
Yeah, and maybe it was, but it's not a very good plan, I don't think.
Well,
because
it was a good plan. They won.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, they win.
Now, they use the same game plan in the next two games. They're going to get blown out.
I mean, you're sitting there with 2 minutes left, and you're still down. You're losing.
Yeah, true.
With 2 minutes left in the game.
Come on, they had it in the bag. It was KU they're playing. Come
yeah.
on, dude.
And
why are you sweating?
And I was honestly, I really felt like once all them holds started happening on that drive before, and I knew K-State was going to get good field position. I'm like, this game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to score somehow here and win, and so they did. But I'm just like, what you're watching is not football in the first half. I mean, it was just it was terrible, and so I mean, you just I couldn't explain what they were doing or even trying to do offensively in the first half. And then, like I say, both teams just making blunder after blunder. This was really bad football. Even, I mean, everybody like, it was an exciting game down the wire. And I'm like, yeah, no, the second half wasn't even that exciting. I mean, at least they put some scores on the board.
21-17, K-State beats KU for the 10th straight time and 13-1 under Bill in Manhattan against the Jayhawks. And we still wait to see what KU is going to do when it comes to their next head coach. No word yet on who they're going to hire. There's lots of rumors out there. Oklahoma wins at Oklahoma State. Bedlam 48-47. I was there watching that one in person. Oklahoma's offense is fantastic, although they had a few points where their play calling was a little bit questionable. And Oklahoma State, if they had a better quarterback, I mean, Oklahoma State's quarterback threw for 500 yards, Cornelison, and he missed a lot of throws.
Oh,
I mean, he missed a lot of throws. I mean, Oklahoma State should have had 700 yards passing in this game. If Oklahoma runs into a quarterback that is really good, which the rest of the way, they got Will Grier they're going to face, who's better than Cornelison. But Grier, I'm not all about how great he is. He can make plays, but he also makes some boneheaded plays too. But Oklahoma's going to have some issues in Morgantown if they continue to play defense like that. I thought firing Mike Stoops was going to solve everything. Well, that's what Oklahoma fans thought. Still the same players. And they got some injuries in the secondary, and Oklahoma's defense was really bad. And yet they still won. And you keep playing with fire. You keep getting these big-time shootouts. Mm-hmm. Eventually, your offense isn't going to make a play, or your defense won't make a play. That's what worries me about the Chiefs a little bit. But Oklahoma's defense is even worse than the Chiefs. And we knew Oklahoma State was going to go for two when they went down and scored. You expected them to score, and they did. They went for two with a minute to go, which would have been interesting. Had they gotten a two, I think Oklahoma would have gone down and made a field goal and won it. But we won't know. Oklahoma State went for two. Totally on board with going for two. That makes sense. You're on the road. You can't stop Oklahoma. You go for two in the win. I didn't understand the play call, rolling your quarterback to the right when he only has one pass option and he's not a mobile quarterback. I didn't get that. But it worked out. Oklahoma survives a scare, wins 48-47. But Oklahoma right now, if you look at the pecking order, there's no question that Alabama's better, Clemson's better, Notre Dame's better, Michigan's better, and Georgia's better. Those five teams ahead of Oklahoma are clearly better. They're clearly better. They're more complete football teams. Now, Oklahoma's more exciting to watch than about any of those teams, especially offensively. But Oklahoma's got a long way to go, and I just don't think the defense is going to allow them to get where they want to get. I said all along I thought they're going to run the table, but after seeing their defense in person and some of the injuries they have and then the new coordinator, it didn't look a lot different than what I saw early in the year. I just don't know if Oklahoma can beat West Virginia back-to-back times, if that's the matchup, which Oklahoma's got to pretty much – they got to beat West Virginia and Morgantown to be in the Big 12 title game because there's a scenario where if you get in a three-way tie, Oklahoma can be out of this thing.
Yeah.
And Iowa State's the wild card in it yet. They could still make some noise, and they got Texas coming up this weekend. Texas beats Texas Tech 41-34. Tech had we were listening to the radio broadcast on the way back of Tech, and the play-by-play announcer for Tech needs to really – I don't know what he was drinking. Anyway, it was 34-33. Tech got the touchdown to tie. They're down 17. There's a minute 45 to go. Tech's at home, and they kick the extra point. And the announcer, the play-by-play guy, just was beside himself, thought they should have gone for two. And then Texas goes down, and they score a touchdown, and there's still 20 seconds left. And he still was belaboring the point why Tech didn't go for the win in two. Here's a thought. Texas just scored a touchdown. It didn't matter if you went for one or two. And by the way, if you go for two and you're up by one, Texas still had a minute 45 to get a field goal. It was so funny. So then Cliff Kingsbury comes on, and they have him on with the sideline guy on the radio broadcast. They're like, hey, coach, what about not going for two? He's like, well, there's a minute 45 left in the game. There's a lot of time left. He goes, and we're at home, and he goes, I felt like we tie it. A field goal still beats us, whether we get the two or we go for one. And then they end the interview, and the play-by-play guy goes, well, that makes sense. Like, what do you mean? You've been talking the whole time about why didn't they go for two? It's like, you didn't ever think about the fact that Texas all they needed was three to beat you, whether you got the one or the two?
Yeah.
It all became weird. Clear to him suddenly.
Apparently, like I said, a little bit too much early Christmas eggnog, apparently. So Texas does beat Texas Tech. Iowa State beats Baylor 28-14. A couple players thrown out of that game got into a big skirmish and a fight. This weekend, TCU's at Baylor. Texas Tech at K-State. That'll be a 2:30 kick. West Virginia at Oklahoma State. I think that's a dangerous game for West Virginia. That's 2:30. And KU is at Oklahoma. Oh, it's so great that Fox, once again, in their infinite wisdom, Fox puts KU and Oklahoma on prime time. 6:30. Iowa State, Texas on the Longhorn Network. That's the thing. They would have liked to have Iowa State, Texas, but I don't know. Maybe there must be something where Longhorn Network gets that game. The best game in the Big 12 is going to be on the Longhorn Network.
Yeah.
That's great.
Fun stuff.
Super. Half of America can't see it. It's 7 o'clock kick there. That's a big game for Iowa State in Austin. All right, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, they win 54-35. This is a team that's kind of like the Chiefs, and it's like Oklahoma, like Oklahoma State, like a lot of teams. Great offense, no defense. 54 points. They have 600 yards. They run for 316. They throw for 290. By the way, Oklahoma the other day ran for 349 and passed for 347. That's pretty good balance. But still only won by 1 point.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad when you have 700 yards of offense and you win by 1 point at home. So Nebraska wins. They give up yards. They give up points. But to beat an Illinois team that's not very good. Nebraska's 3-7. And the Huskers back in action this weekend. I believe that's a morning kick. They host Michigan State. And I think they're due to beat a team that was or is ranked. Michigan State will, I think they fell out of the rankings. In fact, speaking of the rankings, here they are. Alabama's 1. Unanimous, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4, Georgia 5, Oklahoma 6, West Virginia 7, Washington State jumps Ohio State to number 8, Ohio State's 9, LSU 10, Central Florida is 11, and Michigan State did fall out of the top 25. Northwestern is at 24 now after they beat Iowa. Iowa State moves up to number 18, Texas is number 13 in the top 25. The college football playoff rankings will be released tomorrow night, and we'll see if anything changes. Okay, moving on. Two college football teams in Kansas going to the playoffs. And of course, they're not the Jayhawks or the Wildcats. We know that by now. Fort Hays State, after a tough start to the season, bounced back. They won 58-0 over the weekend over against Northeastern State at home. They punched their ticket to the playoffs for the second straight year. Northwest Missouri State also selected for the Division II football playoffs as they were co-champions in MIAA, but Fort Hays State beat Northwest head-to-head. So Fort Hays, as a result of that, got a little bit of a higher seed. They're the 5 seed. They'll take on the 4 seed on the road, which will be, let's see here. They're going to be the 5 seed going to the 4 seed. I'm trying to decipher this article.
Indianapolis is what I read.
Well, that's how I remembered it, but I can't find it in the darn story. And Northwest Missouri State will be on the road as well, as they'll take on Grand Valley State. So the Bearcats make it to the playoffs for the 15th straight year. That's called consistency.
Yeah.
That's called tradition. So both Fort Hays State and Northwest Missouri State moving on to the playoffs, but both will be on the road in the first round next weekend. Kansas Wesleyan's having a year to remember. The Coyotes are 11-0. They are into the NAIA football playoffs, the first round, and they will host Langston University, who's 9-1 out of Oklahoma, 1 o'clock kick at Bissell Field down at K-Dub there in Salina coming up on Saturday. So best of luck to the Coyotes. If you're a soccer fan, you're pretty excited, especially if you cheer for Sporting KC. They were able to beat Real Salt Lake 4-2. And I'm not smart enough soccer fan to understand the aggregate and the legs and all this other stuff. I thought we all just have two legs, but whatever. So anyway, they win. They move on. They haven't set the exact time. They're going to visit Portland in the first leg. They play number 5 seed Portland in the Western Conference Championship. It's a two-legged Western Conference Championship, and they face number 5 seed Portland. They'll visit Portland first leg on November 25th before hosting the decisive return leg on Thursday, November 29th at Children's Mercy Park. Kickoff times, broadcast details for both matches will be announced in the near term. They'll be November 29th at Children's Mercy Park. Could be pretty cold for a soccer match. The place was jacked and full. You know, yesterday you had the Chiefs at Arrowhead against the Cardinals, and people were saying, well, why do they have the playoff game, Sporting KC, the same day and afternoon as the Chiefs game? Well, guess what? You have enough people that live in Kansas City. They filled both stadiums. Wasn't a problem.
And that's a different sect of fans.
Yes, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really, really a Chiefs fan, or let's say if you're like 100% soccer, you're not even worried about what the Chiefs are doing.
If you're 100% Chiefs.
If you're on the fence, maybe it's a better idea to just go to the playoff game if you really want to experience that.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are playing the Cardinals.
That you're supposed to roll. If it were me and I had no choice of that, I would have gone to the KC game, Sporting KC, just for the experience of a playoff game. And I hear it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then you could go to a Chiefs game when they play, you know, the Chargers on Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be a bigger game and a lot more fun, I would think. I went to a Sunday night game against the Bengals. That primetime at night, Arrowhead is just awesome. It's better than the afternoon game. So that's what I would have done. If I had somebody give me free tickets on the lawn, I would have gone to Sporting KC. K-State men's basketball, they win over Kennesaw State 56-41. Any concern? They only scored 56 points against Kennesaw State.
I mean, there's a little bit. Obviously, Snead didn't play. They held him out.
Yeah.
I'm not overly concerned about it. It's the first game of the season.
I didn't think so, but still, that's a low-scoring game for your first game against a team that you should roll. K-State men are back in action tonight. It's a doubleheader at Bramlage. You can watch the women and the men. I think one price gets you in for both. And women tonight against Omaha start their season. And K-State will host Denver, not the Broncos, Denver. I don't know the mascot.
Pioneers.
Okay, the Denver Pioneers. Yep. They're going to host the Denver Pioneers.
University of Denver.
And that'll be tonight at 8. The women's game is before that. So a double dip in Manhattan. And the K-State men will go to the Virgin Islands. What a rough gig that is. They will take on Eastern Kentucky, then either Northern Iowa or Penn. And then they hope to be in the championship before they come back for a game against Lehigh right after Thanksgiving. Wichita State Shocker men, Marcus McDuffie, a career-high 32.6 threes. They hold off Providence 83-80. It's a good win for the Shockers, although they really they got a little tight at the end. They were in control most of the game. And KU in action tonight. You can hear them on Z96.3 Lake with pregame at 7:30. KU is hosting Vermont, the Catamounts. And KU, this is the weakest non-conference opponent they're going to face all year, and this team's picked to finish second in their league.
Yeah.
The KU's always got a pretty tough non-con when it comes to basketball, and it really helps them come tournament time.
I agree.
And when it comes to seeding.
Yeah, that is seeding, yeah. They don't have to worry about any RPI or anything like that. But, yeah, those kind of wins, obviously, well, they don't just help them tournament time with seeding. They help them as a team.
Absolutely.
To get better.
Oh, I agree.
And to be challenged. You know, a lot of these teams that go in aren't challenged sometimes.
Which all the talent that they have, why wouldn't you challenge yourself almost every single night?
Exactly.
Let's see, the over-under Chiefs, Rams, and Mexico City is the highest over-under in at least 30 years.
Not surprising.
64. I'm going to tell you that's low.
32 to 32?
Yeah.
Oh,
33-31.
I'm going to go with the over on 64. Yeah. I think that number's too low. But if that field is in such horrible shape, everybody slips and slides, maybe there won't be as many points. The Bengals reportedly firing their defensive coordinator, and Marvin Lewis will start taking over the play calls for the defense. That's usually a sign that the end is near for a head coach when they start taking on all these other responsibilities. See David Beatty.
I am honestly surprised he's still their coach after all these
years. Never won a playoff game. The Rockets are close to waiving Carmelo Anthony, according to a report. Well, if you want to be good and better, that's what you do.
Not a bad idea.
They're 4-7 with Carmelo.
I don't know why you got him in the first place.
Last year they lost 15 games the entire year, I think it was. 15 or 17 games without Carmelo. This year with Carmelo, they've lost 7 already in the first 11. Now, I'm not saying Carmelo's the main reason, but I think it's chemistry. I think it's a guy that doesn't play defense. And once again, the stats bear it out, just like last year, that when Anthony's on the bench, the Rockets are 8.5 points better versus opposition when Carmelo's on the bench.
Yeah.
And that's what the Thunder found out in the playoffs last year. When they finally put Carmelo on the bench, that's when they came back and could win a game against the Jazz in the playoffs. So, by the way, Russell Westbrook's birthday today. Happy birthday to Russell. But you look at it and you just sit here and go, duh. You didn't think Carmelo's averaging the fewest minutes per game in his career. He's shooting 40%, worse than last year, and he doesn't play defense. And then there's Dwayne Wade, who's a friend of Carmelo. Oh, that's right. Throw him under the bus. Make him the scapegoat down there in Houston. Well, I'm not, once again, I'm not saying he's the reason they're 4-7. There's other reasons.
Yeah.
But wherever Carmelo goes, the team almost always gets worse. Now, there's a consistent theme there. It's called Carmelo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, there's only Dwight Howard.
Common denominator
is Carmelo.
Yeah. There's only one team that didn't get worse, and that was his first team.
Yeah.
I mean, because they were so bad that
there's
they needed
nowhere to
help,
go but up.
And they went up. And obviously, they had some good years with him, but as he got older, he got slower and couldn't play defense. He could still shoot, but not even this year. He can't even shoot.
Begin with to play defense.
Yeah.
And we leave with this.
Okay.
Jimmer Fredette scored 75 points in a Chinese League
what?
Game.
Jimmer is back.
75 points in a Chinese League game.
The Jimmer, I thought he was just like, I don't know where I thought he was.
Okay, and then you thought that paying David Beatty $3 million for a buyout seems silly when he was so horrible and he won 6 games in 4 years as head coach. Bobby Petrino, this is hilarious. Bobby Petrino was the TV show Bobby Petrino, which I'm sure was taped. Bobby Petrino was having his coach's show, his TV coach's show, and as the show was airing on TV down in Louisville, as you're watching the show, the scroll comes across at the bottom, Louisville head coach Bobby Petrino, who is on the show, it's the show with Bobby Petrino, has been fired.
No, it's perfect.
That's hilarious. Listen to this. Louisville's going to owe Bobby Petrino $12.8 million. And also, if everything gets sorted out, Rick Pitino, who they let go after all that, the scandal down in Louisville, they could owe him $44 million. They could owe $57 million to two coaches that won't coach ever again for Louisville. And people are like, oh, Kansas had to pay Mangino, and they had to pay Grill, and they had to pay. That's nothing compared to this situation.
No.
How in the world could they end up owing Pitino $44 million?
I don't
million?
Know. I haven't studied it. I don't know, and I really don't care because it's not my money. But
I'm just like, wow.
But the number blew me away. But just forget Pitino. But Bobby Petrino, $12.8 million. They're 2-8, and so you just cut bait with a guy, $12.8 million. This just goes to show you money doesn't mean it. I mean, money is just an object. Because these boosters apparently are willing to spend a whole bunch of money to make up for a mistake and then hire another coach. There's a lot of talk that Auburn, who just signed Gus Malzahn during the offseason to a 7-year or 6-year, $49 million contract. There were people who wanted him out. They're like, yeah, we're going to have to owe him $40 million. So? What?
Well, yeah, what?
What? That tells you football's a pretty big deal. Obviously.
Yeah. Louisville, just stop getting rhyming coach names. You know,
Petrino and Pitino.
Just don't do it. Just stay away from them from now on.
They will. They're just going to have to write them a check. Big fat checks left and right. So kind of crazy. And by the way.
Don't get Pelini. It's too close.
Yeah, it's too close. He'll win you 9 games. He'll do better than 2-8, though. And the stepfather of Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend died after fainting at Sunday's game yesterday. So it was a very sudden situation. So that's why Patrick Mahomes was not available for comment after the game. So thoughts and condolences and prayers and sympathies to the family of Mahomes' girlfriend. So never like to see that at all. Today is Veterans Day. We'll have coverage of the parade coming up at 11 a.m. Once again, big thank you to all the people that have served and given the ultimate sacrifice, those that have served currently, have served, will serve, those that have sacrificed so much for our country. We thank you for all of that. I know you might want to say something, Dusty. Your dad, of course, is a veteran.
Yeah, I mean, I echo that. And I want to thank the families, too, because they have to go through it as well. I mean, all the deployments and things that go on with families that are not, you know, I have a lot of family in the military, and I know how much it takes from them and, you know, seeing their kids and kids growing up without their parents around all the time and things like that. So that's definitely something, too. And, yeah, I mean, we're indebted to all of you for the sacrifices that you make, and obviously the ones that make the ultimate sacrifice, but the sacrifices you make to be away from your family as well.
Well said. And for those of you who are like, man, it's going to be really cold, and I got to brave the cold for the Veterans Day Parade, think about what all those people brave, the people that fought for our country. I'm not saying you have to go out there to the parade. You can listen to it on the radio. That's fine. But when you start saying it in that way, oh, it's way too cold. Oh, it's cold. I can't go out to the parade. Well, if you're able and you're just going to get cold and you're healthy enough to go out there, you know, I think if you're next to a veteran and you say that, if I'm a veteran, I roll my eyes is what I would do. 10:04 is our time, 25 degrees. Have a terrific day.